Welcome to installment 183 of Sefer Mitzvahs from the Rambam. Today's portion contains five commandments. Positive commandment 54, the commandment to rejoice in the holidays. Prohibition 156, to go to Jerusalem for one of the holidays without the proper sacrifices. Prohibition 229, to abandon the levy during the holiday. Positive commandment 16, that of Hakel, of collecting the Jewish people once every 7 years. And positive commandment 79, to sanctify the Bechor, or firstborn animal. Positive commandment number 54 is relating to the necessity of joy in the holidays. As we explained previously from the Talmudic tractate Chagiga, there are three different categories of offerings which must be brought for each of the three holidays, Pesach, Passover, Shavuos, and Sukkot. There was an Olas Ria, a burnt offering, which had to be brought in consequence of the holiday. Also a Chagiga, a peace offering, which was consumed by the owners. And third offering, which is today's commandment, positive commandment 54, Shalmei Simcha, a peace offering associated with joy. This commandment derives from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 16, verse 14, which states, V'samachta b'chagecha, you must rejoice in the holiday, and in your holiday. And as explained in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 27, verse 7, this is referring to a sacrifice. You should bring peace offerings as sacrifices, and you should eat them there, meaning at the temple, and rejoice before God. This shows that the simcha, or joy, is achieved through the offering and the consumption of this peace offering. The Rambam tells us that this sacrifice is unique in comparison with the other sacrifices associated with the holiday, and that the other sacrifices are incumbent only upon males. But the Shalmei Simcha, the joyous offerings that we're discussing now, are a requirement also for women to bring. The nature of this commandment to rejoice has changed over time since the destruction of the temple. As the Rambam quotes a Talmudic tractate, Psachim, the Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseda said that at the times of the temple, this commandment was fulfilled by bringing Shalmei Simcha, this joyous peace offering, and giving it to all members of one's family. However, since the temple has been destroyed, we do not fulfill this commandment simply by consumption of meat. The simcha was unique, therefore, to the offering in the temple. It wasn't simply the consumption of meat which brought this commandment and brought the joy. Today, says Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseda, Ein simcha ela b'yayin. The only way we can fulfill this commandment of joy is through the consumption of wine, as the quote comes from the book of Psalms, "V'yayin yisamach levav enesh," that it is wine which makes a person's heart rejoice. Therefore, wine must be consumed in order to fulfill this biblical commandment, min haTorah, of simcha, of joy on the holidays. It should be pointed out here what the Alter Rebbe says in Shulchan Aruch, that this biblical commandment of joy applies equally to all the intermediate days, Chol HaMoed, of the festival. Therefore, it would come out that it is a biblical requirement to drink wine each of the intermediate days of Passover and Sukkot. The Talmud also points out that there are different types of simcha, different ways of achieving this joy according to the different levels and the different characteristics of each individual. In general, men will rejoice with the wine. Women must be made to rejoice and allowed to rejoice through the acquisition of new garments for the holiday and also tachshitim, ornaments or jewelry. Children are made to rejoice on their level by being given nuts and sweet things to eat. The Rambam also mentions the greatest expression of joy that there ever was, which was in the days of Sukkot in the Simchas Beis HaShoeva, at the water drawing ceremony, where there was singing and music and dancing of all of the elders and sages in the temple courtyard in the Ezras Noshim, the women's court. Regarding the celebration, it is said that they did not go to sleep. There was so much joy that they simply would doze off for a minute, sleeping on each other's shoulders, and then go back to continue rejoicing. In addition, the Talmud states that anyone who has not seen the joy of the water-drawing ceremony on Sukkot has never seen true joy in his life. The Rambam also stresses that this rejoicing of the festival should not be restricted to one's own family, that in order to make sure that the rejoicing is not only a physical rejoicing of filling one's belly with good food and good drink, one must rather share the joy of the holiday with the unfortunate. As it says in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 16, verse 14, Vager vayosem almana, the widow and the orphan, and these unfortunate categories of people, must be helped and invited to share with our joy in order that it should truly be a joy associated with the mitzvah, instead of a mere physical enjoyment. Special care is also directed towards the Levites, that they must also be given a special share in all of the sacrifices associated with the holidays. This is in fact a prohibition, number 229. As the Rambam quotes from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 12, verse 19, He shomer lecha pentaze v'salevi kol yamecha, that you should be very careful lest you abandon the Levite all of your days. The Sifri tells us, as the Rambam quotes, that he shomer lecha and pentazev are both expressions indicating to us that this is a biblical prohibition, and we therefore must allow the Levite to share in our offerings of the festival. In addition, the maaser, the tithe, which must be given to the Levite, must be given to him promptly. Therefore, one that deprives the Levite of a portion of his own peace offering, whether the Chagiga or the Shalmei Simcha, or one that withholds the tithe from him, is violating this biblical prohibition. And the Rambam explains why the Levite is singled out, and points out that mitzvah b'levi yeser min hakeil, that there is more of a mitzvah, more of a commandment of giving to the Levite, even over the unfortunate people, because the Levite does not even have any possibility of a portion in the land of Israel. So he has no gift of meat, as the Kohen does, and he has no portion in the land in order to have regular food that he can raise himself, as the other Israelites do. Therefore, the Levite was singled out that he should have special preferential treatment to compensate him for this loss. Prohibition 156 is also associated with these holiday sacrifices. In the book of Exodus, chapter 23, verse 15, it is stated, "V'lo yeiro fonai rekam, do not appear before my countenance empty or empty-handed, meaning without the necessary sacrifice. As the Rambam declares in Sefer HaMitzvot, that a person who appears before God in the holidays and does not have with him the Eilas Riyah, the burnt offering, and the Shalmis and the Shlomim, meaning the Chagiga offering, is violating this biblical commandment, as explained in the Talmudic tractate Chagiga. In his legal code, the Rambam points out that this applies merely to the Eilas Riyah, the burnt offering, which must be brought upon appearance before God during the holiday. The Rambam concludes this commandment by pointing out that women are exempt from this prohibition. Positive commandment number 16 is the commandment of Hakel. This is the gathering together or the congregation of every single Jew to the temple in Jerusalem at the conclusion of the sabbatical year in order to hear certain portions of the Torah read from the king. In the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 31, verse 12, it is stated, Hakel es ha'am, gather together the entire people, ha'noshim v'noshim v'taf, men, women, and children, even the tiny babies. All of them are required to come to the temple in Jerusalem and to hear certain parts of the Torah read to them. The Rambam tells us when this commandment took place. It was on the second day of the holiday of Sukkot, after the first day of Sukkot, which was actually Yom Tov. In the temple, the second day was already one of the intermediate days of Sukkot. It could not take place on the first day of the holiday, since trumpets were blown and other acts which involved violation of Yom Tov were involved. And this would not be every single Sukkot every year. It happened once in 7 years. After the conclusion of the Shemitah year, the sabbatical year at the end of the seventh year cycle, the following year, at the beginning of the year on Sukkot, the commandment of Hakel would be fulfilled. The sections of Torah which are read are various portions, various sections of the book of Deuteronomy, of Mishnah Torah. Exactly which parts of Deuteronomy were read, as well as who does the reading, and a description of the majestic ceremony upon which this was fulfilled, are all described in the seventh chapter of the Talmudic tractate Sota. The Rambam also quotes the Talmudic tractate Kedushin, which discusses which commandments are incumbent only upon men, and which are incumbent upon women as well. And the Talmud says a general principle, that any commandment which is a time-bound commandment, hazman grama, connected with a certain time of the year or time of the day, is applicable only to men, and women are exempt. The Talmud then asks, if that's the case, why should women be required to fulfill the commandment of Hakel? Since this is also time-bound, it is only once in 7 years, and then only on the holiday of Sukkot, how can we make women obligated in this commandment? The Talmud answers that we cannot generalize from such a general statement that in all cases women are exempt from time-bound commandments. There are certainly exceptions, as this is one of them. The following verses in Deuteronomy give the reason for this commandment. L'man yishmu u'l'man yilbedu, in order that you should listen, understand, and learn, v'yaru es Hashem Elokeichem, and fear God, v'shamru la'aseis es kol divrei ha'Torah hazeis, and be careful to fulfill all the words of this Torah. And the children that do not know shall also listen and learn to fear God. As the Rambam says in his legal code, that everyone should experience this commandment of Hakel as if they were hearing the Torah directly at Mount Sinai. And when they hear it from the king, it is just as if they heard it from God himself. That since in this case, the king is a messenger of God, they should accept it with the same awe and fear and apprehension as if they were having a direct communication from God. The final commandment of today's portion is Positive Commandment 79, regarding a firstborn animal. As it states in the book of Exodus, chapter 13, verse 2, Kadish li k'cho b'chor, that God commands the Jewish people to sanctify for me, meaning for God, every firstborn animal. And as is repeated in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 15, verse 19, Kol abacher asher yivoled, any firstborn animal, takdish l'Hashem Elokech, you must sanctify for God. As the Rambam declares in his legal code that the person is required to say, Harei ze kodesh, that this is sanctified. He then must give this animal to the Kohen, who sacrifices the animal and burns its fat and sprinkles the blood on the altar, and himself eats the meat, as described in the Talmudic tractate Bechoros. This commandment applies to kosher animals, cattle and sheep, as well as to donkeys, a chamor. In addition, the Rambam points out from the Sifri, as well as the end of the tractate Chala, that applies only in the land of Israel. Animals born in the land of Israel must be brought as sacrifices, as stated or learned out from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 14, verse 23. However, an animal outside Israel, once it has become blemished, may be eaten by its owner and must not be given to the Kohen. The Rambam declares that the Levi is exempt from this commandment, although in his legal code he states that a Levi still must give the animal to the Kohen as a sacrifice. This commandment was conveyed to the Jewish people in Egypt and reminds us of the plague against the firstborn, which was the final step before our release from bondage. Thank you for tuning in to the daily portion of Sefer HaMitzvot. For more information or to sponsor one of the installments, contact Sichos in English at area code 718-778-5436. That's 718-778-5436. And please join us again tomorrow.